as well. All right, if you have your Bibles today, the book of Genesis is on our heart today. The book of Genesis, chapter number 39 this morning, Genesis 39. We've been preaching, starting a series called Influencing Generations, built around Joseph of the Old Testament's life. We're studying some folks who influenced Joseph's life. Think about some maybe mothers that did. We think about his mother. We think about maybe some of his stepmothers that influenced his life. We think about Rebecca's nurse, which would have been his grandmother's nurse that had an influence on his life. And today we're looking in Genesis chapter 39. We're going to be studying Potiphar's wife. I want to preach on this truth today. Triumph over temptation. If you stand to your feet, Genesis 39, we want to begin reading in verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I'll stop reading right there. Here's a young man that lost his coat and kept his character. Thank God for it. Father, would you help us today to preach the word of God? Here's a lady that had influence upon Joseph's life. And Father, he needed to face this trial before he ever got put into power in the palace, Lord. And how he's going to stand, decisions and choices he's going to make, principles and precepts that he must live upon. Help us, God, today to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us, God, to be able to point and to show, Father, some truths that might help us to get triumph in the time of tribulation and temptation. Lord, we ask your help now in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It is my belief that Joseph is one of the most perfect types of Christ in the Old Testament or throughout the Bible. Nothing negative is written about him anywhere in the Scripture. He is a picture of Christ in that he is beloved of his Father. He's a picture of Christ in that he was hated and rejected by his brethren. He was cast into a pit and he came back up alive. Say amen. All of these remind me of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, just looking back at verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph." No doubt God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph in his home. Joseph had a splendid dress that his daddy gave him, a coat of many colors. He was favored by the father, but his brothers hated him because of that dress. And his brothers hated him because of his dreams. You may say, "Preacher Darren, he shouldn't have been sharing his dreams. He was lifted up in pride, and you want to find fault with him." Well, you're not finding fault with Jeremiah. He was a dreamer. Ezekiel was a dreamer. Amen. Isaiah was a dreamer. Daniel was a dreamer. They were sharing the word of God. And every dream that Joseph had that he shared came exactly true as the Lord had shown him. We know that Joseph was born into a very dysfunctional family, and his brothers hated him, stripped him of his coat, threw him in a pit, sold him to go down to the land of Egypt. He's been bought at the auction block by a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar means worshiper of the S-U-N, the son, the S-U-N. And we know that in that house, the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was raised up to find favor with Potiphar and was made an overseer of the entire household. He was greater than anybody else in that home. Think about how the Lord was with this boy born into that dysfunctional family who had a daddy that was so crooked that God had to break him until he could bless him. Amen. And the Bible says he is blessed of the Lord. And here comes an evil influence. May you hear me for a second? A trusted man is a tempted man. Potiphar's wife suggested that he do something that was not right. She tries to entice Joseph to commit sin. We live in a day of open immorality. No wonder Paul wrote, flee fornication. Jesus said, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, and false witness. You will be a success or a statistic based on what you do with temptation. Yielding to temptation destroys marriages, homes, families, the lives of children, and yes, even churches. Number one, there are some precepts in this text concerning temptation. Preacher Darren, what might you say about temptation? Well, first of all, it is present always. Temptation, what does it mean? It is to entice with evil or to seduce to sin. The devil is on a mission to destroy lives. Just as much as you go down here to the fishing hole and you use some lure or some special device to try to trick a fish into biting on it, that you may grab him up out of the water and take him home, destroy him and eat him. The devil has a lure. The devil has a hook. It's got beautiful colors, and it's just intended for you. And temptation is found everywhere you go and in everything you do. And if you think you could just get away from it, you can't. Even Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Jesus did not yield to sin. Amen. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you yield to temptation. You will find there is always someone around to suggest some unlawful thing and to try to entice you to sin. It seems like we are constantly surrounded by the influences of sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, in temptation, God can make you to be a victor. Amen. Till the day you die and leave this earth, there will be temptation. It's present always. And let me say this. It is pleasant in appearance. The Bible says in verse 2, not only was the Lord with Joseph, the Bible says he was prosperous. He was a prosperous man. In verse 4, Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight, and he made him an overseer over the household. He's prosperous. He's got power. Verse 6, the Bible says Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Mrs. Potiphar, she was wealthy. She was probably attractive. She was powerful herself. And the Bible says she cast her eyes upon Joseph. Temptation comes in the place you least expect it. The enticement came from the master's wife. It may be a man. It may be a woman that's enticing you to sin. It may be a friend. It may be a business associate. It may be a co-worker. It may be a trusted acquaintance. It may even be a stranger. Let me say that there may be a temporary thrill to sin. It has a seasonal sensation. As she cast her eyes upon Joseph, he could have been flattered that an older woman cast her eyes upon him, that a powerful woman, a wealthy woman, cast her eyes upon him. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. The Bible says about Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 25, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, Samson, with your head laying there in Delilah's lap as she runs her fingers through your hair, boy, that girl is going to be a temptation and destroy you. He would have said, it's never going to happen, preacher. You're crazy. But just in a few short hours, his head will be shorn and he's lost all his power and his stand and his walk with God is completely gone away and his eyes are poked out and he's going around and around at the devil's grindstone. Hey, Samson, was temptation real? Was it a serious thing? Do you wish your preacher would have preached on it before you got in revival? And Samson would say, yes, I needed a warning from God about getting triumph over temptation. See, temptation is always present. Temptation is pleasant in appearance. Temptation is in a persistent atmosphere. Just when you think I've defeated it, it comes back tomorrow. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. Never think you can send temptation away. Be aware. It's around you today. Defeat it. It'll be back again tomorrow. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The devil and temptation is persistent, constantly pursuing you to destroy and distract you. Amen. Let me say that he's being pressed for an answer. In verse 7, she said to Joseph, lie with me. He said no, but she would not take no for an answer. She continued pressing him. And verse 10, day by day by day, she's continued to press him to lie with her, but he refused. Verse 12, finally, she physically forced herself upon him. She laid hands upon him. Verse 12, she called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. She's pressing him for an answer. She's pressing him for a choice. Preacher, now he's already given her the answer. Once, twice, three or more times. But temptation is persistent. You'll have to stand every single day. We spend a lot of time excusing our sin. He could have said, well, I just can't help it. I'm 20-some years old. Remember, he went down to Egypt. He was at least 17 to 27 years of age when this event happened. She was an older, attractive, wealthy, powerful, influential lady. His mama and daddy are back there in the promised land. Mama will never know. Daddy will never find out. Thank God there's no Instagram, no Snapchat, no Facebook. Nobody's ever going to know. There's influences. My home, my daddy had been married to my mama, but he also married her sister and had both her handmaidens for mothers in my life. It's okay. I'm being accused of it anyway. She looks so good. She listens to what I have to say. She's always paying attention to me. And all of the natural circumstances that are going on are telling Joseph, go right ahead, man. Go right ahead. But Joseph refused. You see, there are some precepts about temptation. Number two, and I'll be done. There are some principles to conquer temptation. Now, I hope you'll hear me right here, because temptation is in your life. You may sit here and act like you're all holy and you're ready to fly away to glory, but you've already been tempted this morning. You'll be tempted probably again this afternoon with God knows what. And there are some principles in this text about conquering temptation. First of all, you need to be aware of the respectability in God. Look at verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Now, he's not speaking about being the overseer of the household. He's not talking about his physical position. He's keenly aware of his spiritual position with God. I've learned a lot about the names of God. I've been studying about a man, who, not only who is God, but who is man. Man is a body. Man is a soul. Man is a spirit. Some people were bored with my little series, but it helped me to preach through these events. And I'm beginning to find out, who am I? Who is Joseph? Why is the devil after my soul? Why is the devil tempting me? Who am I that the devil would come after me? I want to tell you who you are this morning. Joseph's daddy, his name is Israel. It means prince with God. Joseph's name means added of God. Let me tell you who you are this morning. First of all, you are a saint. Now, some of you believe that there's no saints on earth, that after you die and you go to heaven, we have a vote on it and we make you a saint after you get to heaven. That's not true. As a Christian, you're to be a saint now. You are either a saint or you're an ain't. Say amen.
Amen.
If you're not a saint here, you'll not be a saint there. You don't go into sainthood after you die. You're a saint here. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1 says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Didn't say that as in heaven. Said they're at the church of Philippi. Amen. Let me tell you who else you are. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. In that day, as the Romans were building roads to transport soldiers and salt, those salt was being traded at an equal value of gold. What's the price of gold per ounce? Salt was being traded equally. You see, those soldiers were given a salarium. That's where we get our word salary from. You are worth your salt. Amen. You're not a nobody going nowhere. You're a somebody going somewhere. You're a Christian on your way to heaven. That's who you are. That's why the devil's after you. Know who you are. You're a saint of God. You're the salt of the earth. The Bible says that in Acts 6:16-17, these are the servants of the Most High God. You're a servant of the Most High God. Years ago, I worked for a company called Steelcase, and we had been contacted by a president's office by the name of Ronald Reagan. And I got to personally build the desk and credenza that was going to be going into his personal office. And some of his people that worked for him came down to pick it up. I got to shake hands with them. And I said, do you work for President Reagan? Yes, we work for President Reagan. You know what I did? I said, I work for Almighty God who made President Reagan. Do you know who you are? You're a servant of the Most High God. Amen. You need to know what the devil's after you. Not only that, but the Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You are a child of God. In 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you picking up all these? Start with S. You're a saint. You're the salt. You're a servant. You're a son. You're a good soldier. Young as it may look like on the battlefield that we are losing, but I've read the end of the book and the captain's coming back for the soldiers, and in the end, we're the victors. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What is a steward? He is an overseer. God has made you an overseer of your time, of your talent, of your treasure, of your testimony. Hey, Joseph refused Mrs. Potiphar because of who he is in God. He's a child of God, a servant of the Most High God, a steward of God. I'm not giving in to the devil. Amen. I'm a child of God. Know who you are. Be aware of it. There's another reason. You need to accept your responsibility in God. Look at verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand. What is his responsibility? God has given you some responsibility. Did you know in this passage, seven times, Joseph's hands are pictured? the words hands comes up 7 times. That's God's number. You know, God gave him dreams that one day his family, his brothers, would bow down to him. And he believed God, and all of a sudden, God just went silent. And he didn't understand. God, give me a sign. God, help me. Show me. Lord, you showed me them dreams. Are they still true? Will they still come to pass? God, where are you? Hear me now. When this delay came into his life, Joseph did not get bitter. Joseph did not get angry. Joseph did not get filled with revenge. He just kept serving God. He did not live for his rights. He lived for responsibility. We live in a day and age of entitlement. That's my rights. I deserve this. Joseph didn't live that way. And I'm telling you something, you may say, boy, I hate the fact that people seem to think they're entitled. But little by little, it's rubbing off on you. Have you caught it? It's happening in your life as well. The devil's got you convinced you deserve it. Let me tell you something. Joseph was not entitled. Joseph was enslaved. He had servitude. Let me tell you what his attitude was. He had no worth of his own. All his dignities in his master. He had no wealth of his own. You're working to make money for yourself. He had no wealth of his own. All his dependence was on his master. Let me preach a while. Let me tell you something. My God will take care of you. He knows better what you need than you need yourself. And you know yourself, honey. Just trust him. Hey, he had the attitude of, I have no will of my own. My desire is to do the will of my master. Whatever my master wants, that's what I'm going to do. Let's go back to it now. What is Joseph's responsibility as a saint? He's to live a separated, holy life. The Bible says, I am holy, be ye holy as I am holy. We need to be holy. Oh, preacher, listen. It gets quiet when I say the word holy. Well, preachers calls I'm being reverent. No, you're afraid of it. You have a Holy Ghost living in you. You have a Holy Bible laying in your lap. Amen. You serve a thrice holy God, and he wants you to be holy as a saint of God. Joseph said, I have a responsibility. I can't get involved in this temptation. I'm a saint of God. In fact, he's salt. What does salt do? It stops decay, and it creates thirst. Have you ever eaten salty ham? You ever eat salty popcorn? Find yourself a little bit later saying, boy, I just can't get enough of this. I got to get me something to drink. I'm about to die. You know what you need to be doing on this earth? You need to be stopping the decay that's in our community, the decay that's in our country, and you need to be creating a thirst for the things of God and inviting people to the house of God. First of all, you need to come yourself. And second of all, you need to be inviting people to come with you. Amen. He's a servant. What's the servant's responsibility? It's to promote the master and to make the master successful. As a son, what's his responsibility? I'd just like to interview a mother or two right now. What is your son's responsibility? To honor his mother and his father. That when we ask him or her to do something, that they hear me and they do what I ask them to do. Without any hesitation. You know, God in a little bit is going to give an invitation, God the Father, to say, I want to help you with the temptation that's involving your life. And you'll stand there and say, no, that's not for me. Now that's I hope so-and-so heard about it. It's not for me. Honey, there's not one of you in this building from the oldest to the youngest that's not got some temptation going on in your life today that you need help with. And when the invitation's given, you ought to be willing to say, yes, Father, I'm going. You give this message just for me because you knew what I was going through this week. As a son, that's your responsibility. What about a soldier? He's to fight the good fight of faith, realizing the devil wants you to be the next casualty. As a steward, he's to be found faithful. Amen. Faithful to pray, faithful to study, faithful to attend, faithful in your testimony. Here's another thing he did. Third thing, he acknowledged the reality of God. Look at verse number 9. End of the verse. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say sin against Potiphar or sin against Mrs. Potiphar or sin against their marriage. He didn't say sin against myself. He said sin against God. You see, Joseph is constantly looking past temptation. He's acknowledging the presence of God in his life in every aspect of his life. There's never a thought God doesn't know about. There's never a place that's too dark that God doesn't know where you are. Joseph has his eyes on the Lord. In the place of servitude, his eyes are on the Lord. Let me just express this a little further. You remember, he's soon going to be released from the prison because the butler and the baker, you remember that story? And when he goes and stands, and they've got a dream, they come to him and say, "We've had dreams. Can you interpret what the dreams are?" What was it? What did he say? He said, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" He didn't say, "I've got the answer." He said, "God has the interpretation." When he stood before Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, "I've got dreams that trouble me." And you remember the butler said, "Oh man, there's a guy down there that can tell you what dreams mean." They went and got Joseph, and he came out and he stood up and he said, "Listen, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." As he stands before Pharaoh, he's thinking about God. Do you remember one day as he's made the governor of all the land of Egypt and his brothers come and just like his dream said, they bow down before him? What was it he said? He said, I'm going to read it. "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He's always looking past the problem and looking at God. In conclusion, you need to look past the temptation and you need to see God that loves you. You need to get your eyes on Him. God wants to give you, child of God, He wants to give you joy. God wants to give you peace. He wants something great in your life. Sin wants to destroy you, but God wants you to have character. Wait, push it there. Now, as you conclude, if I remember the story, Joseph went to prison for doing the right thing. So convince me that I should do the right thing. Well, let's consider it. Either way Joseph went, he's going to prison. If he said yes to her, and he had relations with her, he would be in a prison of lust. He would be in a prison of lies. And the woman who cast her eyes on him will soon cast her eyes off of him and get her eyes on somebody else. And he'll be in a prison of loneliness. Or he could say no. And he can be in a, let me just read. Look at verse 21. Genesis 39, verse 21. Verse 20 says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. Why didn't Potiphar kill him? Because Mrs. Potiphar probably had this problem before. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. It's a prison of fellowship. It's a prison of favor. It's a prison that will soon lead to freedom. Now, if you're going to go to prison either way, wouldn't you rather be in a prison of your choice? I had rather choose to be in a prison of freedom, a prison of favor, and a prison of fellowship. Joseph said no because he's a child of God. Hear me. Years ago, I was with Luke and Gina. Luke was very sick. Shelby was with us. Luke was just a young child, high fever. A guy came in dressed up in a suit, rolling up a briefcase, suitcase-looking thing. He was one of them legal drug dealers, came to cough on the doctor, selling pharmaceuticals, promoting new policies and new drugs that might help people. And the girl in the back said, "Just sit down in the waiting room, and we'll call you back in a minute." And he did. And he sat down, he looked at me, he said, "Your boy sick?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I probably got some drugs in here. Might help him." I said, "That's good." I said, "How long have you worked pharmaceutical company?" He said, not been here long. Maybe just like a year or so." I said, "Okay." I said, "What'd you do before?" He said, "I was a pastor." Y'all looking at me. Everybody look at me. I can see your eyes. You look at me. I said, "You were a pastor? What happened?" He said, "I fell. A woman. It was love at first sight. Then she duped me." I said, "How did it start?" He looked at me and he said, I don't miss the preaching. I miss helping people." I said, "That's not what I ask you. When did it start? How did it start?" He said, "It started when I lowered God's presence in my life. And it started when I left the book. That's where it started." You see, the devil, are you hearing me? I'm looking at this beautiful congregation.
with so much potential, y'all at home and here in the church. You have so much potential. God wants to do such wonderful, great things for you. But the devil has a hook. He has a lure. And he's looking for you to be a victim. But God told me, he said, you go in there today and you tell them they don't have to be a victim. I want to make them to be a victor. When that man shared with me his testimony, this is the statement. When your intimacy with God goes, your integrity for God goes with it. I'm talking to somebody today. I don't know what it is that's got you to be unfaithful. I'm not talking about necessarily to your spouse or to your home, but to your church and to your walk with God. I don't know what it is. But there are going to be things dealt with this morning and tonight, this week, that you really need to hear. And the devil's doing all he can to pull you away from it. He's going to distract you that he might destroy you. And God sent me in here today to say, Joseph, before he was ever put in power in the palace, he had to get it straight that he might get triumph over temptation. You'll stand to your feet this morning. I want to say to you today, you may say, Pastor Darren, I've given in to temptation. You do not have to live a defeated life. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can start completely over today. But I'm telling you, there's some people here today. I don't know what you're fighting and battling with. It may not be about a Mr. or Mrs. Potiphar, but it may be about something the devil's trying to get you to do. And you may stand here today and say, I didn't need this. And look around. God the Father has spoken to you as his child. He's trying to help you. Will you take his encouragement and we say, God, give me strength. God, give me wisdom. God, let me see who I am and why the devil's after me. And Lord, help me, cause me to be a victor and not a victim. Help me, God, that I may triumph for your glory. Folks are moving today. I'm telling you, I don't know what your position, I don't know what power, authority, but you need to bow today and ask God for his help. Folks are coming. God bless you. If you're at home, you need to bow before the authority of God and say, God, help me. Help me. I may lose my coat, but I don't want to lose my character in my walk with God. We're waiting. Come on. God is moving. We're waiting. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God's still, amen. God's still dealing. God's still working. Anybody else? You need to come. Come right now. So God help me. You sent me this message today. God, here I am. Amen. Anybody else? Father, this morning, on bended knee, I bow myself before the King of Glory and I submit to your authority. And God, I'm learning just how great you are. I know you're God and there's none other, but how loving and how magnificent, how merciful and how marvelous, God, beyond my human comprehension. And then, God, you started showing who I am, and I'm ashamed of it. I'm so wicked, and I'm so unworthy, and so undeserving, so feeble, weak, and inept. And then, God, you started showing me when you saved me who you called me and caused me to be. And that's why the devil is spending so much time to come after the child of God. Father, be and help me, God, to be a victor. Cause me to triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this church. Revive us again. Refresh us, God. Anoint us anew, Lord, I pray. Give us revival, God, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, there's homes. God, right now, will you help us to respond, to heed, God, to hear the word, and acknowledge you as our God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.